Our speaker is Ben Bailey.
Maybe you've heard someone say, there are many roads or many paths and they're all leading to salvation. Is that really true? Is that what the Bible says? Are there a variety of different flavors that you can choose from that will all lead to a home in heaven? Friend, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus made it very clear that there is only one way to the Father. Notice the words of Jesus in John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Friend, all the variety of religions that exist today, they don't all lead to heaven. They don't all lead to God. You can't go through Hinduism or Judaism or Buddhism or Islam or all these various religions and get to God. Not according to Jesus. Jesus said emphatically, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Today, as we think about salvation in our series of lessons, we want to emphasize that the only way to the Father is found through Jesus Christ. It is as though a man is driving down a one-way street, and on that street it says, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You can't get to the Father any other way. Now, as we think about Jesus as the way to the Father, what is Jesus trying to say? What is it that Jesus is really trying to emphasize to His hearers? First and foremost, Jesus is clearly teaching that if a man's going to be saved, he is the only way by which he can be saved. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John have just performed a great miracle in Acts chapter 3 by healing the lame man. They are now brought before the religious elite and they are questioned about this miracle. And Peter, in essence, says that this is the stone which is rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ. And then he says this, notice Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Peter says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. But we ask, what's the importance of a name? Name represents authority or power. Acts chapter 4, verse 7, they are asked, Peter and James are asked, Peter and John, by what power, by what name or authority have you done these things? Jesus is the only name by which men can be saved. Well, why is that? Jesus is the name through which salvation comes. He made the great offering. God designated Him as the Savior of the world. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, in the naming of Jesus and giving His name there to Mary and Joseph, the angel said, you shall call His name Jesus, Emmanuel, for He will save His people from their sins. It's the name of Jesus that represents salvation. It's His blood that gave us the hope of going to heaven and living with God. We're buried in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. And it is Christ who is able to save men from their sins. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus said that He came to seek and to save the lost. Who else but Jesus Christ spent His whole life preaching good news, helping those who were poor and sick, and made the ultimate sacrifice for sin. 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2 says of Jesus, He's the propitiation for our sins, but not for ours alone, for the sins of the whole world. And friend, if you really think about it, Jesus is able to save. And He is the only one who's able to save because it's His sacrifice that appeased the wrath of God. You remember back under the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, when they were to find a lamb or a sheep or a heifer, what was that lamb supposed to be like? Well, it was supposed to be perfect, without blot or stain. It was to be pure in every way. Friend, only Jesus fits that description because of His perfect life. Listen to Hebrews 4:15. Jesus was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. The Scripture says in 1 Peter 2, verses 21 and 22, that He committed no sin, nor was guile or deceit found in His mouth. The Bible says that God made Christ, listen, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf. And so, Jesus is the only way to be saved because it's through His name, through His life, and His perfect example that the propitiation, the sacrifice to God is made. And so, as Acts 4 verse 12 says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now, let's make a real practical point. If salvation is only found in the name of Jesus Christ, friend, why would you ever want to follow any man's teaching? Why would you want to follow a religious group that's named after a certain man or a certain doctrine that some man came up with? For example, can Martin Luther save you? Absolutely not. If salvation is only in the name of Jesus, then why would you want to be a Lutheran or a Presbyterian or a Methodist or a Catholic? Those names can't save. Salvation is only in Christ and the name Christian. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. And so it's real important that we understand Jesus is the only way to salvation. But did you know that Jesus is the only way to a life right now that gives real meaning and ends in heaven itself? You know, so many people in this life are searching for meaning. There are so many people who are meandering through life without real purpose, without real meaning, don't know why they're here, don't know where they're going, don't know really what's going to happen in the end, and yet Jesus is the way to a life that gives fulfillment here and in the life to come. In Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37, I want you to notice the question that Jesus here asks. Jesus says, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Friend, I ask you today, what's the most important thing you have? What's the most important and valuable of all your possessions? Is it your home? Is it your car? Is it your bank account? Is it maybe some piece of art or jewelry that you have? No. The most important possession you have is your soul. And friend, Jesus is the only one who can give real meaning in this life. Life is about getting my soul to heaven. This is my one chance to get right with God and to glorify Him. That's what life's about. And yet so many people miss the point of that. So many people are like Solomon. Solomon tried it all. He tried wisdom, philosophy, intellectualism. He tried various lusts. You remember he had upward of 700 concubines, 300 wives. He had tried everything you could imagine. Wine, women, building projects, whatever it may be. Solomon had dabbled in it. And yet what did Solomon say about all those ventures? Solomon said, "Vanity of vanity," says the preacher, "all is vanity except one thing." And Solomon came to the right conclusion. In Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14, Solomon comes full circle and says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Why? "For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." You know, Jesus provides us with a life of real meaning. Jesus taught men to obey God. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Jesus taught men that to really love Him, you've got to obey Him. John 14, verse 15. And having Jesus in your life and taking care of your soul, that gives a person real meaning in this life. You know, in Isaiah 43, in verse 7, God said this, "Everyone who's called by My name, whom I created for My glory, I have formed him, Yes, I have made him. You ever wonder why you're here? God said, I have formed him for my glory. You and I, we are made in the image of God to magnify and to exalt him with our life. That's what Paul said. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, Paul said, whether we eat or whether we drink or whatever we do all to the glory of God. This is why Paul could say, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die, that's only a gain. And thus, you must be seeking first the kingdom of God, and God will take care of His own. And so, not only is Jesus the only name which salvation comes in, Jesus is the only way to find real meaning in the here and now and in the life to come. But as you think about Jesus the way, let's realize Jesus is the only way to forgiveness and peace with God. You see, as the sin problem enters every man's life, and he becomes aware that he is in sin and lost, separated from God, you also must realize there's only one way to forgiveness and real peace with God. And that's found in Jesus Christ. How can a man be forgiven of sin? By accessing the blood of Jesus. Revelation 1, verses 4 and 5, a man is washed in the blood of Christ. It's by His stripes that we're healed. Isaiah 53, verse 4. It's because of what Jesus did on the cross that our sins can be removed. 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. And through His blood, we can be cleansed. Matthew 26, verse 28. And you know, when you find that forgiveness, you find the peace that only Jesus Christ can offer. Have you ever thought about the peace that comes to Christians? Listen to Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God. Notice, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Jesus is the only way that I can lay down at night, pillow my head, and know that I've got peace with God. How's that? Because of His sacrifice and because of obedience to His will, I know that I'm right with God and that I'm saved. This is the good news of Christianity. A man can absolutely know that he's right with God. 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, John said that we can know that we're saved and that we can know that we're right with God. I don't have to wonder. I don't have to worry. Jesus is the way, the real way to forgiveness and peace with God. But friend, realize this as well. If Satan is going to be defeated, Jesus is the only way. You see, Satan is that great enemy of old. Seen in the garden in Genesis chapter 3 as a cunning, wily serpent. Pictured in the book of Revelation as an angry, vengeful dragon wreaking havoc on the plan of God. Pictured in 1 Peter 5 verse 8 as a roaring lion trying to devour men's souls. Yes, Satan is a fearful enemy. Yes, it is the case that he is pictured as going to and fro, back and forth on the earth, seeking men and women to devour. Job chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. But here's the good news. Only through Jesus the way can you defeat the devil. Listen to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. The Bible says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who all their lifetime were subject to bondage. When I think about what Jesus does, how He's the way, I've got to realize if I'm going to overcome Satan, that great enemy, it'll only be through Jesus Christ. I love the picture of Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. Of Christians, the book of Revelation says, and they overcame him, Satan, through the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto the death. Notice the threefold way Christians are said to have defeated Satan. The blood of the Lamb. There's the sacrifice of Jesus. The word of their testimony, we now have as Scripture, so I've got sacrifice, Scripture, and notice, they did not love their lives unto the death, self-sacrifice. That's the threefold way to overcome Satan, but it all begins with the great sacrifice that was made on Calvary for each and every one of us. But you know, Jesus is also the only way to find real truth. There have always been skeptics throughout the ages. Pilate asked the skeptical question in John 18, verses 36 through 38, what is truth? And so many today are searching for real truth. Friend, recognize Jesus is the only way to find truth. In fact, He's the very embodiment of what truth is. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made through Him. Without Him, there's nothing made that was made. Well, what is this eternal Word? John 1, verse 14, and we beheld Him as the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Jesus Christ is the Word, which is truth. Notice what Ephesians 4 and verse 21 says about Jesus being the way to truth. The Bible says, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, notice now, as the truth is in Jesus. You see, friend, the truth is so essential because of what the truth does. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. To be free from sin, you have to access the truth. If the truth is in Jesus, He's the eternal Word of God. If God's Word is truth, John 17, 17, and oh, how I need to take the words of the Proverb writer to heart. Proverbs 23, verse 23, the Proverb writer said, buy the truth and sell it not. Whatever cost may be attached to buying the truth, I'll guarantee you it's dirt cheap. For what you get from the truth, knowledge of right and wrong, salvation from sin, access to the blood of Jesus. Friend, you can't place a price on the importance of Jesus, the way to the truth. You see, friend, God's Word is ultimate truth in all things. So many people wonder, is there really a source? Is there something that we can say, this is truth? This is something I know is absolutely true and right, and I can build my faith on that. Absolutely there is. God's Word. Look at this very short verse. John 17, 17. Jesus said to the Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is truth. Friend, you can know today, and you can be encouraged by knowing this book is truth. Not just a part of it, but all of it. Psalm 119, 160 says, the entirety of your Word is truth. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, this book is the absolute truth on salvation. And so we think about Jesus not only as the way to truth, but Jesus is the way to the truth on salvation. Friend, maybe you've been wondering, how do I know that I'm saved? Or how can I know that I'm right with God? Is there really a source I can go to which I can say, whatever this says, I can know it's right, I can put my trust in it, and I can know I'm saved. Absolutely. Jesus is the truth on salvation. Listen to Hebrews chapter 7, and I want you to notice what the Bible says about Jesus as the truth on salvation. Scripture says, therefore, He is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. Friend, if Jesus says a man saved when he does this, you can be sure he is. If Jesus says he that believes and is baptized will be saved, I can know that's truth. Regardless of what any man anywhere says, I know Jesus has the truth. If Jesus says a man must be born of water and the Spirit to enter the kingdom of God, I can know a man can't get into heaven without doing what Jesus said, being born of water, being baptized. And so, yes, Jesus has the truth on matters of salvation and how I desperately need to go to Him. But you know, Jesus is the only way to real life. The Old Testament pointed to Jesus as the way, and the New Testament declares that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Friend, we want to ask you today, do you have Jesus as the way to salvation in your life? Maybe right now, you've been wondering about salvation. Maybe you've been wondering, well, why do I need to be saved? And what's salvation all about? Listen carefully. As we suggested in our previous lesson, man has got to be saved from sin. In Genesis 3, when sin entered into the world, the door was forever opened. And the Bible says in Romans 5, verse 12, through one man sin entered the world and death came to all men. Listen, because all have sinned. I've sinned and you've sinned. There's none righteous. Romans 3, verse 10. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I desperately need God's salvation. In the Scripture, the greatest question to ever be asked is found in Acts 16, verses 30 and 31. The Philippian jailer, right before he started to take his life, right after he started to take his life, and Paul prohibited him from doing that, he asked the question, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Friend, what does the Bible say? Not what does popular opinion say. Not what does your preacher say. Not what does some religious leader somewhere say. What does the Bible say you must do to be saved? The Bible makes it very clear. To be saved, you've got to believe Jesus is the Son of God. You've got to listen to the Word of God. As we've been suggesting today, Jesus and His message is the only thing you need to hear to be saved. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." I can't make God happy without faith. How do I get faith then? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. Once I've heard that message, then I must be willing to believe in Jesus as the Son of God. You know, when you think about the importance of belief, Jesus over and over again taught us that belief is essential to salvation. Now, think about the example of Acts chapter 8 in the Ethiopian eunuch. Peter or Philip has been teaching him the gospel. And as he's teaching the gospel, he gets the point. It's evident for the question he asks is, "Here's water, what does hinder me from being baptized?" And do you remember the hindrance? "If you believe with all your heart, you may." Acts 8, verse 34 following. So, to be saved, not only must you hear the Word, the message, you've got to believe Jesus is the only way to salvation. Now, having believed, you've got to take it further than that. Many people will say, "To be saved, all you've got to do is believe in Jesus and accept Him as your Savior." Friend, you don't find that in the Bible. In fact, you find the opposite of that. James 2:24 says, "We see then that a man is justified by works," listen, "and not by faith only." A lot of people say you're saved by faith only. Just believe in Jesus. Did you know the only time that's mentioned in the Bible, God says the exact opposite? We're not saved by faith alone. James 2 and verse 24. A person must be willing to turn, to change his way of thinking, and then to change his will, his way of acting. In Luke chapter 3, certain Jews came to Jesus, or came to John, and John is out baptizing and preparing for the kingdom, and certain religious Jews, the religious elite, they came out to John to be baptized, and here's what John said, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And then he said this, "Bring forth fruits worthy of repentance." If repentance has fruit, and friend, that tells me that I've got to show in my life that I'm trying to repent. Am I going to be perfect? That's not what we're saying. But you must attempt, you must do your best to turn from a life of sin. Jesus said, "Unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish." Luke 13:3 and 13:5. Peter preached, "Repent and be baptized." Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. But once a person has repented, he also must make that good confession. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, Timothy made that good confession in the presence of many witnesses. We see that good confession in Acts chapter 8 where the Ethiopian eunuch said, "I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God." And friend, Jesus taught us, if we're not confessing Him before men, He's not going to confess us before the Father. Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33. But then, having heard the Word, believed in Jesus, repented of sin, and made that good confession, God says there's still something one must do to be saved. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved." Do you believe that? That Jesus said both belief and baptism are essential to salvation? That you've got to do both to be saved? Listen to what Jesus said in John 3, verse 5. "Unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Peter preached, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins." Why be baptized? Because Jesus said to be saved, but it is because we want our sins remitted. It's for the remission of sins. Saul was told, "Arise, be baptized, listen, and wash away your sins." It's the point at which we contact the blood of Jesus in His death, burial, and resurrection, Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. But you know, one of the clearest passages, not often heard, is Galatians 3:27. Paul said that we are baptized into Christ. As many of us as were baptized into Christ have clothed ourselves with Christ. Now think about this. All spiritual blessings are in Christ, Ephesians 1 verse 3. Salvation is in Christ, 2 Timothy 2 verses 11 and 12. If all spiritual blessings are there and salvation is there, then naturally I want to be there. How do you get in Christ? As many of us as were baptized into Christ have clothed ourselves with Christ. Friend, have you dealt with the sin problem? Realize today, Jesus is the only way you can ever be saved. And our hope and our prayer for you is that you'll obey the gospel and you'll have access to Jesus, the way.